You in peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation today is from our gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 14. And then Jesus broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. This is our text. I'll tell you, it's been somewhat of a challenge for my wife and I over the last year because Wells Brothers opened up a takeout place up by our house, up at 4 Mile and Charles, and then this Mexican place opened up at 3 Mile and Erie, and you know, rather than sitting down and making a meal, it is just so easy to pick up the phone and make that phone call and order something out to eat. I mean, after church yesterday, got done with the service and we called up Nona Wells and ordered some chicken and a pizza and ate way too much food. But there are those times when you go out for a nice meal. Maybe it is just a hamburger, and you leave that place unsatisfied. Jan and I did that just a couple of weeks ago. We went out for a burger, ordered what we thought sounded really, really good, but when the meals came out, well, number one, they looked nothing like the picture in the menu, and then the flavor just wasn't there. And we both agreed that besides Milwaukee Burger Company, really, we don't need to go out for a burger anywhere else because I can make a burger just as good at home. So we left that place, yes, a little bit fuller, but really unsatisfied. In our text for today, we see crowds and crowds of people following Jesus. And after their encounter with Jesus, they are more than satisfied. They are totally satisfied to the point that they've got leftovers. Because that's how God works in His grace. He doesn't just give you what you need, but He satisfies you with abundance. He gives you more grace than you could ever handle. And so our text starts out with Jesus getting word that John the Baptist had just been killed. While Jesus and John the Baptist weren't particularly close, even though they were cousins, they both shared a mission. And so the news of his death left Jesus wanting to be alone to spend some time in prayer with his Father. Jesus actually did that quite often. Whenever an important event was coming about, like his baptism, he went out to pray. Before he chose his disciples, he went out and spent time in prayer. Obviously, before he was arrested and crucified, he spends 3 hours in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. So Jesus would just, when these events would come by, would go off all by himself and spend time in prayer with his Father. And so in our text, in order to do that, he jumps in the boat, heads across the lake to a remote, desolate place. Unfortunately for Jesus, the crowds can see his boat as it's crossing the lake. They can see it out there on the water, and so they just jump on their little feet and they trek across on the seashore and they head to the place where they see that the boat is obviously heading. And so Jesus, needing time with his Father, gets across the lake and he finds this huge, huge crowd, over 5,000 people waiting for him on the shore. I've never preached to 5,000 people. Can you imagine what that would have been like? But notice, Jesus doesn't get mad. He doesn't walk away. He doesn't get all depressed and sulk. He doesn't get back in the boat and head back to the other side. He doesn't disappear and walk through the crowd. Our text is very, very clear. He had compassion on them. Real, true, sincere compassion that motivates him to start going to work and healing the sick. He goes about his mission. And it gets to the point that he's healing one person after another, that he doesn't even realize that night is coming. He is so focused on the people because he's got compassion on them. And so the disciples have to bring him to his senses and remind him that it's getting to be evening and they've got no food. You should send these people around to the towns around here so that they can get food. But Jesus turns around on them and he tests their faith and he tells the disciples, "You give them something to eat." Can you imagine being in their place? You've got Jesus there telling you as a disciple that you have to feed 5,000 people. Now, I figured out I've made 550 hot dogs already this year for various school events. Doesn't come close to feeding 5,000. That should be a really, really difficult situation. I mean, they've only got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And yet, they've got the creator of the whole entire universe standing right there in front of them in Jesus Christ. You know, they should have known. They were watching Jesus heal all kinds of diseases all day. They should have known that he could take a few pieces of bread and a couple of fish to feed that entire crowd. I mean, just earlier, the first miracle that Jesus did, they were there and they saw Jesus change water into wine and make more than 100 gallons of wine for the wedding. So they should have known that Jesus himself was the source of all food. They missed it. But notice what Jesus does. The text says that he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. That's not a correct translation. The Greek text actually says that he ordered them to recline on the grass. Now, that doesn't seem like much of a difference to you guys sitting there out in the pew, but it really does make a difference when you order it up with the other things that come up clearly next. You know, that's the way they really ate their meals back in the day. They would recline on their left side while using their right hand to eat, which would be difficult for us lefties, but that's another situation. But Jesus then, after he has them recline on the table, on the grass, he takes the food and he looks up to heaven. And again, he says a blessing. Any one of those three actions in and of itself, no big deal. But when you link all three of those actions together, having the people recline on the grass, looking up to heaven, and saying that blessing, it points to a more sacred, more festive situation. These things would have only been done at a Passover or at a Sabbath evening meal, special occasions like that. And so Jesus is taking this picnic and he's turning it into a festive, sacred occasion because he wanted these people, all 5,000 of them, to be truly satisfied. And so Jesus breaks up the loaves and he gives them to the disciples and the disciples give them to the crowds and they recline and they ate. And they ate until they are full. Matthew describes it very well when he says, And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And again, we've got this repetition here. All ate, they were satisfied, and 12 baskets full of broken pieces. My dear friends, that's abundance. That is real satisfaction. Jesus feeds more than 5,000 people, and every single one of them is satisfied. But you know what? That's how Jesus does everything. When he healed a person, he just didn't make them well enough so that they could go back to work. No, when Jesus healed somebody, he totally healed that person. He totally cured them. And when he gave sight to the blind, he didn't just give them the ability to see shadows in a distance. No, he gave them 20/20 eyesight. He gave them perfect vision. And you know, that's how Jesus deals with us, with our sins. He doesn't just dismiss them and sweep them under a carpet. He doesn't just blow them off or ignore them. No, Jesus lived a perfect life in our place as our substitute to satisfy all of God's commands. And then what did he do? But he dies on the cross to satisfy our debt for all of our sins. And so just as Jesus satisfied the hunger of the crowds, he satisfied our salvation. To be sure, we can be dissatisfied with a restaurant. Work can leave us unsatisfied and unfulfilled. Even our relationships can leave us unsatisfied because we live in a sinful world. It is Satan's job to take away our satisfaction, but it's Jesus' job to restore our satisfaction. The satisfaction especially between us and our God. And no other satisfaction matters more than that. Jesus' life here on earth satisfies. And Jesus' death on the cross satisfies. Jesus' resurrection from the dead satisfies. But it's true. We will never have total satisfaction while we're here on earth. But we are guaranteed total satisfaction when we get to heaven. Satisfaction here with a meal, with a job, with a relationship, that's all temporary. But satisfaction in heaven lasts for all eternity. May God's Holy Spirit be with you to fill you with satisfaction here and now, but even more importantly, when we're in heaven for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.